Good afternoon and welcome to Living Permaculture on KDNK. I'm Vanessa Harmony of Colorado Edible Forest in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. Today's guest is someone with a knack for deciphering overwhelming tasks into portions that are easy to understand and accessible to all. Susan Poisner of Toronto, Ontario, is an urban orchardist and a certified arborist through the International Society of Arboriculture. She's an award-winning author of 4 fruit tree books entitled Fruit Tree Pruning, The Science and Art of Cultivating Healthy Fruit Trees, Fruit Tree Grafting for Everyone, a do-it-yourself guide for creating your own fruit trees, Creating Urban Orchards, How to Care for Fruit Trees in the City and Beyond, and Grow Fruit Trees Fast, a beginner's guide to a healthy harvest in record time. Susan is also the host of an award-winning radio show and podcast centered around fruit tree care called Orchard People. Susan, welcome to the program.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
You're welcome. Well, Susan, in your book, Fruit Tree Pruning, you tell the story of how you, like many people do, maybe put the cart before the horse in your eagerness to plant fruit trees. Everyone's always telling you how the best time to plant a tree was 10 years ago and the second best time is now, so it's understandable. But then once your fruit trees were in the ground, it wasn't until your trees were floundering that you called in an expert to guide you on fruit tree pruning, and the degree to which he pruned your juvenile fruit trees was a great shock. Can you tell us about that moment?
Oh my gosh, it was a trauma. It was a life trauma. And the adorable thing was that Norm Herbert, who was our first teacher and mentor, who came, we raised money for our community orchard to get him to come in from 2.5 hours away, our fruit growing district. So Norm was this older man. He had been the head of a huge orchard for 25 years, the loveliest, sweetest man you'd ever meet. And he comes and he's explaining to us what pruning is for and how it's going to make the trees healthier. And we had tended these trees lovingly for a year, actually, by the time we got him to the park to teach us. And it was blossom time. They were blooming. They had their little branches, these little trees. They really hadn't grown very much, but they had their blooms and they were looking adorable. And Norm came and he said, "Now, this is how you prune a tree." And he started to hack up the trees. And we were just holding each other, and some of us were actually crying. We had dragged water around the park in buckets to irrigate these trees. We had cared for them. And now this guy, who we thought he was a nice guy, we thought he was knowledgeable, he was taking off fully healthy branches and just throwing them away and laughing. And I really thought at one point, this person is a maniac. He's never invited back again. But that was when, I know, he's such a beautiful man. But that's when I realized that there is a lot more to fruit tree pruning than there is to pruning, for instance, a native tree or an ornamental tree. With native and ornamental trees, you're really only looking on removing dead branches, diseased branches, or maybe branches that are crisscrossing and rubbing up against each other. When you're pruning a fruit tree, you are actually removing perfectly healthy branches. There's nothing wrong with them except for the fact that they are not part of the ideal structure for your tree. And the ideal structure is so important because that is what's going to make your tree strong. It's going to prevent disease, the spread of disease, and it will help improve the quality of the fruit. So you really want a very open structure to your tree, and you have to do that right from the start. If you're planting a bare root tree, you actually start pruning on the very day you plant that tree. If it's a potted tree, you might wait a year, but either way, you're trying to create this beautiful open canopy with lots of air circulation, and there's lots of reasons for that.
Well, now flashing forward to the present, can you give our listeners a visual tour of the Ben Nobleman Park Community Orchard in Toronto where these fruit trees are planted?
Absolutely, I can. So we have a small orchard. I think we have about 14 or 18 fruit trees. It's changed over time. Sometimes we have had to take down trees if they're very diseased. You know, we don't want diseases to spread. And so if a tree is really diseased, you know, we take it out. But the remaining trees are 15 years old, many of them. They have this beautiful open structure. We have cherry trees that feed the community every single year. Children can climb these trees, and adults can climb them too. We have harvest festivals where people can really enjoy the fruits. We have blossom times in the park where people are taking pictures of our gorgeous trees, and they are sturdy and strong. We do have one or two younger trees that we've planted in recent years. The one thing is everybody on our team who loves the trees loves to prune them. Sculpting your tree and shaping it from the start is such a joy. As the tree gets older, you're really just maintaining the shape. So your main pruning job is in the first 3 to 5 years, for instance, of the tree's existence in the park or in your garden. And so now we have very minimal pruning to do. So I miss that fun part. I love sculpting and caring for the young trees, but I also love the fact that with these older trees, we're enjoying the harvest.
Nice. So when you carry out pruning on your fruit trees, it's a community event?
So pruning is only open to the volunteers in our group who have taken an online course with me. I used to offer online courses, so I had created this course called Certificate in Fruit Tree Care. It's an 8-hour course that I used to sell to the public. And I don't let anybody touch the trees without taking the course. I now have a book, as you mentioned, I've got my fruit tree pruning book, which could be a replacement, but the course had an exam that people had to take at the end to make sure they knew what they were doing. What I didn't want was to have to spend 8 hours training every single new volunteer from scratch how to prune the fruit trees. So that's one of the reasons having the course and offering it was a great advantage. So we have a team of about 6 people who prune every single year, and each year we are so excited to meet up in the orchard. I am always around if they have questions, if they're not sure. But what happens is, over time, as you see from year to year, how each tree changes and each tree's sort of personality and how it reacts to the pruning, you get better and better at it, and it becomes intuitive. You can give me some pruning tools and throw me at a tree, and I'm thinking about what I'm doing, but it's just almost automatic. I know what to do. And with the volunteers now in the orchard, they're getting to that stage where they know what to do. And I can say to one of my volunteers, can you take care of the apricot trees? I look forward to seeing what you do. I trust them completely.
Well, that's inspiring. I've had a vision for creating a local citizen pruners group where people receive training to be competent to go out and prune, whether it's fruit trees or other trees on public property or maybe on private property where the people aren't able to manage it themselves. So it's inspiring to hear that story.
Well, I love that idea. And early on, I had this vision, which I hope will still come true one day. Like here in the city of Toronto, there are a lot of people with one or two fruit trees in their front or backyard. And these fruit trees haven't really been tended. They haven't been pruned. So you get this big, messy canopy. The quality of the fruit isn't the best. The fruit falls to the ground. There's pests and diseases. And my idea was that through doing something like you were talking about, through the training that I offered, that we could have crews of people who do this, you know, as a side job, you know. And in fact, many years ago, I taught at an area here in Toronto called the Jane and Finch area. And it's a wonderful community, but there is not a lot of jobs, transportation. There's a lot of issues there. We trained up, I think, 35 people in this live version of the course, Certificate in Fruit Tree Care. And out of those 35 people, 4 people ended up finding jobs in urban agriculture because they now had these wonderful skills of fruit tree pruning. And a number of other people got together, and in the neighborhood, they would knock on doors and say, listen, I can see you have a pear tree in your front yard. Would you like me to help you prune it? I have a certificate in fruit tree care, and this is what we charge. So I know that that happened for a few years. I don't know if it's still happening, but I think it's a great job for somebody, but even if it's part-time. And arborists are not trained in fruit tree care. It is a different, it's a similar skill, but it's a totally different strategy. So that's not a job that you can necessarily call an arborist and say, what's wrong with my fruit tree? How would you prune it? An arborist would take a different approach, and that wouldn't be an approach that would help improve the quality of the fruit. It might do something different. It might just bring down the height, let's say.
Right. And I've also been collaborating with some other local arborists to train them about specific fruit tree pruning guidelines. And so now they feel empowered to have a bit of a specialization in that. And as I alluded to at the beginning, I really appreciated in your book how you were able to break things down into bite-sized pieces and make good use of photos and diagrams to illustrate your points. So when we have our annual free community fruit tree pruning workshop series this late winter, early spring coming up, I'm going to be recommending your book to all of my collaborators and the participants.
Oh, that is so exciting. That makes me feel wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. And one concept you emphasized in your book that I'm looking forward to working more with is summer pruning as a way to slow woody growth for trees that need to be reined in. Can you explain for our listeners the impacts of winter, early spring pruning versus summer pruning?
Absolutely. And that was something that when I learned, it was like a light bulb went off. Now I get it. Because when I first was learning about pruning fruit trees, I remember asking a number of people, what's the difference between winter and summer pruning? And I'd get answers like, well, summer pruning is if you go look at your tree and you see one branch is shading another branch out, and then you can cut off the shading branch. And I'm thinking, okay, this, it doesn't feel right. So here's the summary. You know, winter pruning, you can see all the branches of your tree. You don't have leaves on it, fruit, blossoms, or anything. So you can see the structure, and that is so useful. But the thing about winter pruning is it encourages vigorous growth. So if you think of a fruit tree and it keeps its energy over the winter in its root system, like it's like a pantry, it's a storage pantry for all the energy that it made the year before through photosynthesis. When the leaves go brown, all that energy goes down into the root system and it has a finite amount of energy in the root system. So let's say this tree is dormant. It's got that energy in its root system, and let's say it has 10 branches. So it's maybe a young tree, it just has 10 branches. If you don't prune that tree in the winter, that energy will be divided up into 10, so each branch will get 1/10 of the energy. But if you prune the tree in the winter before spring growth, and you remove, let's say, 3 of those branches, each of the 7 remaining branches gets additional energy. It gets an additional share of the stored energy. So each of those branches will grow a little bit longer, will be a little bit stronger, so it'll thicken up a bit more, and it may also support more fruiting buds and more fruit. So in a sense, when we're pruning a fruit tree, we're actually managing its energy. We're saying, honey, I want you to put the energy into this branch and that branch, and I don't want you to waste energy with some extra branches, because then I'm going to get lots of leaves, which is nice and everything. I'll get maybe even lots of little fruitlets, but the fruits won't really grow, or they won't get really that sweet because there's just not enough energy to put into them. So that's winter pruning. You want to encourage growth, and that's fantastic for young trees or slow-growing trees. And for instance, some apple trees, even in the first 7 years, they can be kind of slow. So that's a great, winter pruning is great for those trees. But then there are some trees that just grow like gangbusters. So after the first few years, a lot of stone fruit trees like cherry trees or some peach trees, they just grow a lot. They get really big, or plum trees in our park. We don't grow peaches. But the plum trees and the cherry trees grow really big and really fast. So if I was to do winter pruning on those trees, once they're already a little bit big, I'm just making them grow bigger. So what I do then is summer pruning. I wait. They still have that finite amount of energy in their root system over the winter. I wait till the spring comes. I wait till the blossoms open up. I wait even until little fruitlets form. It's like the tree is running a marathon, getting rid of all that energy. And only after that, I will then prune the tree. I'll be throwing away these branches that have little leaves on them, that have blossoms on them sometimes, depending on what you're pruning and when. And essentially, it doesn't really have that much extra energy to keep growing longer branches and that kind of stuff. So it actually slows down growth. When you prune in the summer depends on how much you want to slow down growth. So with apple trees, for instance, often I'll prune right after petal fall. You don't want to prune with apple trees during when the blossoms are open, because there's a disease, bacterial disease called fire blight, that spreads really quickly during blossom time. So I'll wait till the petals fall. I might even wait till a little bit, some of the fruitlets have started to grow. Then I'll prune the tree. With our cherry trees that are already quite big, I prune the tree on our harvest days. So before the community comes out to help us harvest the trees, because they're big trees at this point, even with the summer pruning that we've done for the past 6 years or so, I will take a pole pruner and I will take off some branches way up at the top that I know people can't reach and that aren't part of my structure. And I'll snip them off. We put them on our big harvest table so that when people come to harvest the trees, the people who can't climb or can't reach or just maybe don't even have mobility, older people, they will sit at the harvest table and they'll pluck the cherries off the prune branches. We fill huge bowls filled with cherries. And then at the end of an hour's harvest time, we divide up the cherries to the number of participants. Everybody gets a paper bag filled with their amount of cherries, an equal amount, and it's such a blast. It's a beautiful day. So that's summer pruning. And again, the goal there is to slow growth a little bit. Old apple trees. Sometimes people see an old overgrown apple tree. It's way too big. And it makes sense that you want to prune it in the winter, because you can see the structure. But when you do that, you, even with an old tree, you will be encouraging more growth. And that may not be what you want if the tree is already too big and overgrown.
Nice. Yeah, that was eye-opening, because even in the fruit tree pruning resources I had come across to date, they would recommend summer follow-up pruning to get rid of suckers. But I'm looking forward to experimenting with this new approach, because in our region, I do advocate the use of full-size or standard rootstocks, because we have a short growing season, we have a really rugged climate, and because of their vigor, and also because they create a long-lived legacy tree. That's why I like those full-size rootstocks. But they are prone to getting, if they're untended, getting overgrown. And so I think this could be a really useful tool for those types of rootstocks.
I love that you said that. I love that you said that, because, as I mentioned to you before we went on air, I'm writing a book on fruit tree garden design, and I talk a lot about rootstock choices. And that is so profound. It's like everything when you're choosing your fruit tree depends on where you live. And often people don't want to choose these full-size rootstocks because they're going to get so big. But your reasons are fantastic. You need a strong root structure. You need a vigorous tree because of the short growing season. And I think that's fantastic. So one thing that I was going to suggest, if you have any plantings where you've got two identical trees, same cultivar that you planted at the same time. We have that with two of our apricots. For whatever reason, we have two of one, I think it's gold bar apricots. So I did an experiment one year. One of them I did winter pruning. One of them I did summer pruning. And I saw exactly how these trees planted at the same time, pruned in the same way up until this point, how the growth differed. So when later an expert told me, oh, it's been disproved. Summer pruning is different than winter pruning. It's not a thing. It won't help. It won't slow growth. And I'm like, well, there's been a lot of studies that show it does slow growth. But more importantly, I saw with my own eyes, having done that experiment, that it made a big difference. Even the directions that the branches grew in was different depending on whether it was winter or summer pruned. So it's a fun experiment for you to try. I hope you'll try it sometime.
Right. I can think of a couple of sites where I might be able to do that, and hopefully our listeners can too. Thank you. Well, one quote I loved from your book is, vegetative buds act like a pruning blueprint. Can you differentiate between vegetative buds and flowering buds for our listeners and how they can guide your pruning?
Oh, yeah, I love that part when I finally figured that one out. So vegetative buds, first of all, Vanessa, when I planted fruit trees, I didn't even know the difference. Like, I didn't know there were two different kinds of buds. I didn't know anything. But vegetative buds turn into leaves and branches. Fruiting buds turn into fruit. And you need to know the difference because as your tree gets older, it will get fruiting buds, which you don't want to accidentally cut off, which of course I have done in the past when I didn't know what they were. So the interesting thing, the reason I say the vegetative buds are like a blueprint when you're pruning your tree is they tell you what direction the branch is going to grow. Let's say you're looking at a one-year-old whip. This is a bare root tree that somebody may plant that's just looks like just a branch with roots. It's the youngest tree you can get, and it's actually fantastic to get those trees. So there's going to be buds around the outside of that branch. And if you see a bud and it's on, if you're looking at the tree and the bud is on the left, well, guess what? The branch is going to grow to the left in the direction of the bud if it's an upright tree, so it won't grow totally horizontally. It'll probably grow upwards a little bit, but, you know, it's basically showing you where the branch is going to grow. Same thing if the bud is on the right. Now imagine a tree which has side branches, and you're looking at one of the side branches, and you want to make a cut. So you have a look at where the buds are. And if you see on this side branch, you see a bud that's sort of pointing upward. If you cut after that bud, you're going to get a branch that goes upward. And you don't really want that. Your ideal is to have branches that reach out horizontally. That way, you get better air circulation without branches that all go upwards and crisscross into each other. But interestingly as well, branches that are horizontal are more likely to produce fruiting buds, and there's reasons for that with plant hormones. So when you are shortening a branch, you're always going to look at where the buds are because it'll tell you, will the branch go to the left? Will it go to the right? Will it go up? Will it go down? And your idea is to create a branching system where all the branches are reaching out away from the trunk, not towards the trunk, not up, not down, but stretching out away from the trunk. So that's how vegetative buds are a blueprint. So there's so much to learn. And here's the thing about pruning. Pruning is delightful, honestly. It's like, I do enjoy gardening. I do enjoy growing flowers. We grow, my husband and I, some vegetables. But trees are so special because they're like these beings. They last as long as we do sometimes, but we humans. And it's our one opportunity to go out and sort of really interact with them and to feel what do you guys want? We tell them what we want. They tell us what they want in the way that they grow. And you just you work together with the tree to create a wonderful partnership. So I always say growing fruit trees isn't just planting the tree and waiting for the harvest. It's teamwork. And pruning is one of the best ways you can have, be on the same team with your fruit tree. And they do thank you with an abundant and beautiful harvest.
I love that. And plus the way you're also inviting nature in to your community orchard, not only the relationship that you as the tender have with the fruit tree and the fruit tree has with you, but also with the surrounding environment and natural inhabitants.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like we have a beautiful big pollinator garden with blossoms that come out at different times during the growing season. And our goal is to attract lots of beneficial insects, pollinators, of course, but so many of the other beneficial insects happen to love eating or hunting down and destroying insect pests. So they do a lot of the work for us, and just by making sure that you're planting your trees in an environment where it's not a monoculture, where there's lots of other, a mix of trees, where there's a mix of plants and blossoms, it's just delightful to go out into a place, even if you live in a big city like this, and see how much different wildlife there is, how many different insects, and how everybody's working together.
That's beautiful. Well, if any of our listeners are eager to learn more about and learn from Susan Poizner, they can visit orchardpeople.com to find fruit tree care articles, links to purchase Susan's 4 books and another one coming up soon, links to Susan's podcast where she interviews the likes of Matt Powers, John Kempf, Nigel Palmer, Lee Reich, Dan Bussey, Linda Chocker-Scott, Joel Salatin, Paul Wheaton, and other heroes in the worlds of horticulture, agriculture, and permaculture. There's also a fun blog about the Ben Nobleman Community Orchard and guidance on community orchards in general at communityorchard.ca. And since we're on such congruent topics, I should take a moment to let our listeners know about a class I'll be offering this spring through Colorado Mountain College in Carbondale, Colorado. It's a 3-part course that's going to cover fruit tree grafting, tool selection and sharpening, scionwood collection, and hands-on fruit tree grafting. So anyone interested in that course who's local to the area can search on Colorado Mountain College's website in the community education section, and I'll also post information about it on my website, Colorado Edible Forest, as well as the upcoming free fruit tree pruning workshop series that we'll be offering later this late winter and early spring. Susan Poizner, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule educating and empowering fruit tree growers to join us today.
This has been really fun, and thank you so much for inviting me.
You're welcome. Thank you also to our listeners for joining us today. I'm your host, Vanessa Harmony of Colorado Edible Forest in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. Tune in next month on KDNK on the third Monday of the month at 4 p.m. for another episode of Living Permaculture. We'll talk to you then.
Before the street,